How to find and wholesale pre-foreclosures for big profits. What is up, guys? Zach in here. And in today's video, today's live stream, I'm going to show you step by step how to pull pre-foreclosures. Most importantly, how to market to these pre-foreclosures. Most real estate wholesaling guru programs or videos don't talk about this unless you pay thousands of dollars. Exactly the languages to say, what not to say. I know it seems like it's a regular list, but like if you don't say the right things, you will not get these deals. And also I'm going to teach you is really the entire pre-foreclosure process. And this isn't like some 2-hour master video where I'm going to go for hours and hours and hours. It's pretty simple. You are going to be able to go inside of whatever government lists. You can use a page service to get the pre-foreclosures and actually understand what a pre-foreclosure is. If you understand what it is, when you talk to a seller, you're going to sound like an expert. I'm giving you literally a script of what to do. I'm actually going to give you a 5-point plan of how pre-foreclosures work. It's really simple. Anybody at the end of this video can understand it. And most importantly, you will be able to go out here and start getting pre-foreclosure leads with no money at all. It's amazing. So today we're going to show you how to do it. Pre-foreclosures is an amazing lead source if you know how to do it the right way. There are certain marketing channels that don't work for it. There are certain marketing channels that do work for it. But you have to understand you have to do it the right way. And if you do not do it the right way, you'll be set up for failure. So I'm going to show you how to get rich. For a lot of wholesalers, this can be your first deal. And for a lot of people, it is their first deal doing this. And there is so much motivation with this list and really not a lot of people talking about it. So we're going to break this all down. We're going to get into this and share this step by step. So the first question is, what is a pre-foreclosure? Like that's a very simple question, or it's very simple for someone that understands it a lot. But for a beginner out here, you're a complete beginner. You don't understand what a pre-foreclosure is. Why should I go after them? Everything like this. It's not that complicated. Now, if I can give you a quick like sentence of what it is, it's basically a list of people not paying their mortgage. I know I oversimplified it there, but that is basically the gist of what I'm trying to get you to do today. Find people not paying their mortgage. Most people have a mortgage and a lot of people do not pay it and they lose the house potentially to the bank. You can actually help the sellers out and you can get these big $10, $15, $20, $40, $50,000 assignment fees by doing this. Now you're going to have to understand a couple of things by doing this, and this is why I need to break this all down. You just can't go pull a pre-foreclosure list and start marketing willy-nilly. That's how most wholesalers operate because they watch one YouTube video from a guru and then just go after it. And the guru doesn't tell you exactly what to do and not to do. But this is what we're going to break down today. No complicated scripts, no complicated crazy systems or anything like that. Just really easy, simple to digest information so we can start getting rich on here. Now, basically, if I can give you a legal definition of a pre-foreclosure, right? Pre-foreclosure is not like a real term. It's not something the bank really uses as a term too much. It's kind of a, you know, us real estate investors and wholesalers use this term, but pre-foreclosure basically is an early stage quote in the foreclosure process. When a homeowner is behind on the mortgage payment and the lender has initiated proceedings for a foreclosure. That's basically what a pre-foreclosure is. Basically, you have a bank, they own a note on the property. You don't pay your mortgage, the bank can take over the house pretty much. Now, you don't lose all, like you still get your equity, things like that. And if that stuff's confusing, we will break it all down today. So don't be freaked out. Hopefully you don't feel overwhelmed with this information. I promise you, step by step, we're going to introduce new things on here. Now, there are pretty much 5 stages of pre-foreclosure. Now, what I'm going to do is, I know this is like, whoa, you're hitting me all at once. What I want you to do is just sit back. Don't get stressed out. I have visuals and charts and all these to make it really simple. But it's basically when you don't pay your mortgage, 5 things happen for you to lose the house. And we have to understand these 5 steps because your motivated seller who is not paying the mortgage and be like, oh my gosh, what do? I can't even sell it to you. The bank's going to take it over. You're like, no. These are the 5 steps. So you might want to write this down. You might want to screenshot this. This is very important stuff. If you're watching this on YouTube, which everyone watching this is actually on YouTube, you can screenshot this. It is recorded so you can write your notes. Also, my free wholesaling course, freewholesaling.com, this stuff is already on there for you to print, download, things like that because it's a free sneaking course. So this is 5 stages, right? So FYI, if you are not inside of freewholesaling.com, my free wholesaling course, you are missing out because this is the type of information we have in here. So step 1, if you have a mortgage and you don't pay your mortgage. Now, usually the missed payment is about 2 to 3 missed payments. That's pretty much when you stop paying, right? So you don't pay your mortgage for 1 month. Usually you don't get anything crazy, but month 2 or 3 happens, then we start getting into missed payments. Now, it's pretty simple. You just didn't pay your $1,500 a month mortgage. You didn't pay your $1,700 a month mortgage, whatever it is. You just didn't pay the dang thing, right? It's pretty simple. You just didn't pay the bill. What happens when you don't pay your bill? You get into stage two. You can't get into stage two without doing it. If you're automatically paying your payments, you're never going to get any of the other stuff. Some people are like, I don't know where I got. You didn't pay the dang mortgage. Okay. So stage two is what we get called. This is the notification. Basically what notification is the bank tells the person like, Hey, you didn't pay your mortgage. If you don't, we're going to take the house over. Like you agreed. You signed a mortgage that said, if I don't pay, the bank can take over your property. And it's a little threatening. It's a little scary. This is usually about 3 to 4 payments. Usually you get the notification. It sounds scary, but it's done on purpose. You're not paying your bills, like duh, right? And so you're going to get a notification, usually a letter, email, whatever from the bank saying, hey, you got to pay up or you're going to lose the house. They're actually trying to be nice here. You know, sometimes, you know, someone's grandma might die and people are so overwhelmed with grief that in 3 or 4 months, they just didn't know grandma had a mortgage or they didn't know how to pay it, right? And it's like, oh my gosh, oh, I got this letter. Oh my gosh, I didn't even know this. We got to pay this off, right? It's not to be scary or mean, but like, it's just trying to let you know what's going to happen. And usually, once notification happens, this isn't even a pre, like, we don't even have this information, right? You get into stage three. Now, stage three is when we can start, us wholesalers get the information. After month 3 or 4, the bank's like, okay, this person ain't paying. We got to start the process. Now, everybody thinks in pre-foreclosures, you didn't pay 1 month, on the streets, right? That's what they think. They think you're on the street month 2, and that's not how it works. It's usually like 5, 6, 7, 8 months down the line. Now, sometimes longer, sometimes it's shorter. Every state's different. I know ones that take years. I know ones that aren't as fast, right? They're all a little different. But stage three is basically the bank and their lawyers are going to put on public notice, public record. They're going to start a court filing and says, hey, this person's not paying their agreement. I need to take over the house. And the process starts. From there, it's going to be a couple more months after, but until really a judge says, okay, fine, get them out, right? Not mean, but it gives the court system has this on purpose so people and their families aren't kicked out really quick, right? It's a pretty slow process, which is good for us wholesalers because once it's on public records, I, a regular Joe Schmo, can pull up to my clerk of the court and just get the information like this and go to like listrei.com, listrei.com. And just get that information pretty quick. Go to zachdata.com, whatever it is, right? And get that info. That is stage three, public records, or what they call a list pendens. Now, list pendens is basically a Latin term. It is basically a lawyer term, right? A law term. Basically, they are starting the process or they're moving forward with something. It's not the perfect definition of it, but basically what list pendens is a action or a commencement of something's happening, which basically means they are trying to take something over. It's pretty serious. List pendens can be with really anything, with contract law and basically how common law is in the United States of America. But basically that's how it works. Pretty much all 50 states in the United States are like this. Pretty easy, right? If put on public record, we get this information. Sometimes it's called a notice of list pendens. I was dealing with somebody in Louisiana. It's actually a new one for me, but it was called a notice of list pendens. Now, it's usually a notice of default is what it's called, or literally it's just called list pendens, but there's some other ones, notice of judgment. There's a lot of other one terms. Generally, you look at them, that's what they put. The bank puts a public record. Now, once that happens, usually a month or two, maybe a couple weeks, maybe 4 or 5 months, right? Every government official court record office type thing is different, right? Each one is very, very different. So what that means is basically on step 4 of this process is the judge sees it. They're like, okay, it's been like 6 missed payments. Nothing's happening. Now, FYI, before like all this stuff. So let's talk about the stages. It's up to stage 3. I missed 5 payments. I can just pay it. And sometimes the penalty, whatever the mortgage is written out on it, right? Like, I can pay it and save my house. Like, I can do it. It's fine, right? And so just FYI, like, they could protect it. Now, some are different, obviously. Each one is completely different. But usually you can save it at that point. Now, at stage four, this is when it's very, very difficult. So what you have to understand is stage three to stage four. Until it reaches stage four is very difficult, okay? From stage three to four, before four even starts, between sandwiched, this is our what we call the wholesaling window of opportunity. We have information, there's a pre-foreclosure, and before that auction date is set, before it gets a little hairy, we can write a contract, find a buyer, have them phone the deal, and boom, the pre-foreclosure is not on the seller's record, right? So auction date is set, stage four. This is basically when the judge sees it. Okay, this person's not paying. It's been 6+ months. Here's the date. Auction the house off. Bank, if you don't like it, take the property over. Do an REO. Go after. And I'm not trying to do complicated terms or anything scary for you there, but that is a term you should understand too. Freelancing.com, we break that down. The auction date is set. Once the auction date is set, it becomes extremely difficult. And I don't like to say this lightly, but it becomes extremely, extremely difficult to actually go out here and get this information. I hate to say it, but it gets a little tough to go out here and lock up a deal, get it funded once the auction date is set. And so we want to be before that, right? And then the auction date's set from like a month or now, or a month or two, the foreclosure happens, it gets auctioned off, or if the price isn't good, the bank basically takes it over. Now, what I want to do right now is show you a chart we have inside of freewholesaling.com. So let me click this button here. Let me go inside of freewholesaling.com. And let me show you really quick when you're inside of freewholesaling.com, what kind of the chart. So we have a really cool chart here. I love showing it. I've been on record like a billion times of just showing this, but basically, where is this? Let's see here. I can open a new tab, right? There we go. Okay. So basically, inside of freewholesaling.com, we have a chart we really show you and teach pre-foreclosures really well, and I do want to show it in this video. So I will give the credit. You need to go to freewholesaling.com. That is my free wholesaling course. And basically, what I'm going to do is put in the bottom right hand corner. There we go. Freewholesaling.com. Boom. Beautiful. Bada bang, bada boom, right? And so let me put myself in the corner here just for a second so you guys understand that. And so basically, this is freewholesaling.com. Now, this is basically what the process of a pre-foreclosure looks like. Pretty much from left to right, this is the way I like to look at things. So there's a thing called a pre-foreclosure. Now, a pre-foreclosure, letters from the bank. This is what we call the notification. Nothing happens. They miss their first payment, second payment, third payment. Then they are inside of a pre-foreclosure. This is about 120 plus days in. There is a notice of default. It is filed on the public record. And then from there, that's basically stage three. Now, stage four is auction date set. You can see right here. There's this thing right here called the wholesaling window of time. This is the time we have in wholesaling to pull the list, market to it, get the lead, sign the contract, assign it, get the property sold before the auction date. You can also do a short sale. I'm not really going to get in that today right now because short sales are a little more difficult than they were when I got into wholesaling. Way easier when Rick was doing it. But you can do a short sale if you understand that process. Freewholesaling.com, we kind of teach how to do that. That is when it's usually when they owe way too much on the house. Usually for most of your wholesaling deals and leads, you're not going to deal with that. Pretty much, you see auction date set right there. Once the auction date is set, it is way harder to get that wholesaling deal. And then on the top right-hand corner, I'll hide that for you guys. If you guys want to go and screenshot this right now, go and screenshot it. We get in the auction, the foreclosure auction, or what we call the REO right there. The bank wants to basically sell for what is owed. So if they owe 100 grand, they just want to get sold for that at least, or get the equity out. Most sellers will deal with you, and I will say this a million times, and I know I sound like I'm saying this like a broken record, but most sellers got in the situation because they're procrastinators, because they don't want to deal with reality. And once reality hits them that, hey, in 3 days, I'm going to be kicked out of the house, then they want to sell to you. 3 to 7 days, it's almost impossible to get. You can do it. Very, very difficult if you are just to wholesale the deal. Not good. I'm not a big fan of these. 3 to 7 days before, this is why we have to be in that wholesaling window of opportunity. 3 or 4 months before, most sellers don't want to deal with it. So just be aware, you can't help them all. So screenshot that. I'm going to give you 5 more seconds and then we're going to get out of this and then keep talking about how to actually find these type of leads and things like that. But this is the wholesaling process from left to right, the entire process. The reason why I wanted to give this to you is so you sort of had an understanding of what the process is before we pull the list. Because you kind of understand this, it makes it easier for you to pull a list. Now, 3, 2, 1, screenshot it. Go to freewholesaling.com, bottom right-hand corner right there. If you want to get that just downloaded, it's free, stuff like that, right? So basically it is very, very important you guys go out here and go to freewholesaling.com. Now, that is basically the process. And now we're kind of getting to the important stuff, right? Like, okay, I understand this. I understand the process. It seems like a lot of work. It seems complicated. Why do I want to wholesale a pre-foreclosure? This literally makes no sense. Like, this is a lot of work. This seems really difficult. Why in the world would I want to actually go out here and wholesale a pre-foreclosure, right? Well, the reason why you want to wholesale a pre-foreclosure list and these leads is because you can get really good wholesaling deals. They are really motivated. Now, with any list, any type of marketing strategy in wholesaling, there are pros and there are obviously cons. Let me go over the pros first. I'm going to give you the sad stuff at the end because I feel like that's a punch in the mouth you need to understand to really see what wholesaling is all about. Now, what are some of the big pros of wholesaling the pre-foreclosure list, right? Number one, probably already watching this video, these sellers, they're going to have the auction date set. They're going to lose the house. Duh. Like, they're going to lose the stinking house. That's a big motivation, right? Big motivation. They all need to get rid of the house, basically. Now, do they all think that they're going to lose the house? No, they all think that magically they're going to get the money. Their uncle's going to strike it rich or they got some money coming. The egos get in the way, everything. It's a situation. But all these people have a big motivation. That doesn't mean every single seller on this list is going to magically want to sell their house with a super low price, right? That ain't going to happen. Okay, if you think that's going to happen, no, right? There's going to be a big motivation. Statistically, when I talk to 100 of these sellers, more of them are going to be motivated sellers. More of them are going to be good deals. More of them are going to be more contracts than just a regular high equity list. That's why we're talking about this list today. That's why we actually want to go after them, right? The other big pro is this is a free list. Costs no money. It's a completely free list for me to pull. That is why I absolutely love pre-foreclosures. It's a free list. It's going to cost me no money. Anyone that actually wants to go out here and actually find these deals, find motivated sellers, get deals under contract, right? It is a completely free list to pull. Now, you can pay for this information, right? Another big, really big pro, I'd say, it's really easy to pull it. If you have listrei.com, that's basically PropStream. You get a free trial to it. So anyone get a free trial, pull the pre-foreclosures tonight if you wanted to, right? That is an option for you guys out here. So easy to pull on listrei.com. I would say that is a big pro looking into wholesaling this list. It's so easy to pull this list. Now, there are some cons with that, obviously, but it's a big pro, right? Now, another really big pro, this might not be a pro for everyone. Some people might like this, some people might not, but it is a great creative financing list. If you're looking to get in some creative financing or you want to wholesale and do creative financing at the same time, I would really recommend you actually go out here and do pre-foreclosures. If I was looking to do subject twos, oh my gosh, this is like the best one. Woo! Guys, you have to be doing the subject two list. If you're into creative financing, it's amazing. And I'm not going to full creative finance today, but it's great. Okay, so great creative financing list and wholesaling together. That's why I like it. But obviously with this type of list, there are going to be some big cons we really need to understand here, okay? One of the big cons, because this is an easy to pull list, it is going to be extremely easy for a lazy wholesaler to get the list. Let me repeat myself. If I'm a lazy bum wholesaler that doesn't want to work hard and I just pull the list and just throw something out, even if I'm a bad wholesaler and I just want to do really high offers and ruin people's deals, I can do that. That's a con. That is a con of the pre-foreclosure list. Because it's easy to pull, any Joe Schmo can pull the list, which means there's usually more competition. Now, is that a bad thing? No. If you're wholesaling like we teach in freelancing.com and on this YouTube channel, you're fine. There's really not much to worry about here, but you have to understand this is not a code violation. This is not a probate. This is not a trying for dollars. This is none of those type of lists where it's like, okay, I don't have to really deal with a lot of competition. There is going to be a decent amount of competition for this, but it's free and it's easy to pull. You should add this on your tool belt or your toolbox of type of lists to do, right? If I add that on top of what I'm doing, it's only just going to increase the chance of me getting consistent wholesaling deals every single month, right? It's not going to hurt. But if you're like, I'm only doing this list, that's the only thing I'm going to do, it might be a little tough. So just FYI. Another big con. Now, I'm giving you cons because I need you to understand them. Do not go out there and be like, oh, okay, everything's all fancy schmancy. Nothing wrong is going to happen. No. There are some cons to this that you guys should understand. All right. The seller needs to sell in a pre-foreclosure. Now, I need you guys to really grasp this. Sellers need to sell in a pre-foreclosure situation. They're going to lose the house. There are lots of bad things when you're in a pre-foreclosure and your house gets foreclosed on. It's on your record. It's going to get extremely hard to get more financing. Heck, a lot of people, if you want to rent out a new place, it's going to be more difficult. It's going to destroy your credit, which is going to be hard to rent out a house. Like, there's a lot of cons. You are publicly on notice that your house got foreclosed on, which is very embarrassing for a lot of people. You know, in America, everyone's like, oh, look at me. Look at me. I wonder what the Johnsons think of this. Right. It's not a very, it's not the nicest thing. You do not want to be put on that list, right? It'd be embarrassing, right? And so a lot of people want their egos, their reputation, whatever, in check. And so it's very important that we don't get on a list like this, right? And so there's a lot of like pros of why you should sell your house when you're in pre-foreclosure and not let it get auctioned off. It's just, it's not a good look, right? It's not good for my credit, anything like that, right? So the sellers, they need to sell, but most of them won't. Oh, you know, we're going to keep this house. They have the emotional attachment. You got to understand this. Most pre-foreclosure sellers got into this situation not because they make good decisions, and more specifically, good financial decisions. You do not miss 3 or 4 mortgage payments because you're up and top on your responsibilities. Now, some people lose their jobs, they're in tough situations, their family gets sick. I get it. But for the vast majority of pre-foreclosures, a lot of them are bad with money. They're a lot very bad at bills and things like that. They're not making good financial decisions. They're procrastinating on that bill. They're going to be very big procrastinators. And when you're a procrastinator, you don't want to deal with anything until you actually have to, the day of or the week of, right? And when they say, oh, the auction's 3 or 4 months, I'll get my money right by then. I'll deal with it. But it's not the best thing in the world. So we do have to really understand this, guys and gals, that the sellers are going to need to sell, but a lot of them won't. And a lot of wholesalers, beginners, get really upset with themselves. It's kind of sad. You know, I just wish the seller would sell. They need to sell, but they're not signing with me. They're procrastinators. It's a numbers game, right? You have to get the majority that will. Then from there, you're good to go, right? And then, you know, I'm getting some other ones, right? Like, it gets very difficult, right? Most pre-foreclosures too, they won't come to reality until the auction date gets set, which gets very difficult for us to wholesale that deal. I've had countless leads like this. Unfortunately, I just deal with the ones that want to deal with me, and that's it, right? I use this example a lot, and a lot of wholesalers, they think it's silly, but it's completely true with pre-foreclosures or motivated sellers in general. It's like asking a person out on a date, okay? I know it's a silly thing to say, but it's true. If I ask somebody on a date and they say no, I'm going to respect their decision and then just go on to the next one and just fine, right? I'm not going to let it bother me. A lot of you guys are like, no, You said no. You need to go with me. You need to say yes. I'm such an amazing pre-. You're not going to convince the. They said no. You're not going to go convince them. That's crazy. Okay. Deal with somebody that wants to deal with you. A lot of you wholesalers get so worked up that someone said no when they actually need to sell. That's like they can't wrap their minds around it. It's a numbers game, guys and gals. If it ain't going to work, just go to the next one. That's it. You ain't going to go sit in your butt all day and cry. Life's too short for that. Most pre-foreclosure sellers won't come to reality until the auction date gets set. So deal with the ones that will actually deal with reality, right? Another big con on pre-foreclosures, you guys have to understand. You don't want to hear it, but you need to understand this. Cold calling won't work well with pre-foreclosure sellers. I have done every marketing channel comes to pre-foreclosures. Cold calling is the worst one. That is my biggest pet peeve with wholesalers that say, Zach, I can't get any wholesaling deals. I went to freewholesaling.com. I watched like one video and I did it and your information sucks and it doesn't work. What do you do? I pull pre-foreclosures and I call them and nobody answered. Oh, shocker. Look, do you see what I'm putting on this video right now? I say cold calling doesn't work. It's because, guys, you don't understand, Zach. I did it, and I'm going to get results. You just don't know what you're talking about, right? Guys, I've tried it. Because when you're behind on your mortgage payments, your loan payments, usually your credit cards too on top of this, you get so many calls from the bank, loan servicing companies. You get on all the lists because you're on public record of people calling you. Most pre-foreclosure sellers do not even want to answer their phone. They just don't. It's a bad cold calling list. Great for texting in other ways, but really not a good cold calling list. So everybody, please do not cold call the pre-foreclosure list. If you listen to me say you don't call it and you call it and don't get results and you cry to me about it, I'm not going to feel bad for you because you're listening against my advice. Now, here's the question. How do I pull this magic list? Oh, I want to get some wholesaling deals from pre-foreclosures. Okay, Zach told me the cons, but I know if I just keep marketing to it, eventually I'll get a lot of motivated sellers and a lot of great wholesaling deals. Now's the chipper way, and that is the way you should be looking at things because you will 100% get wholesaling deals like this, right? So the question is how to pull the pre-foreclosure list. Now, how do you pull it? Let's talk about method one, two. There's two methods, right? Method one is basically the free method. It's my favorite method out here. But basically, if you got no money, you're broke, you live virtually, whatever it is, and you got no money, you want to start pulling lists tonight, this is how you do it. Let's get into it, right? Number one, we are going to go to our public records, our county's clerk of the court, our county assessor website, whatever way you want to call it, right? We are going to go there. It can be online. You just search. So if you live in Houston, Texas, search Houston, Texas County. Harris County is going to pop up. Search Harris County clerk of the court or Harris County public records. And then from there, you're going to go to the list pendant section, notice of default section, or notice of list pendant section, notice of judgment, whatever section it is. And all you're going to do is pull that information, pull the data online or in person. Now, the information you look on list pendants is you're going to make sure there's two parties. Usually there is a party that is there's a grantor grantee usually on these, but basically there's going to be a name, Chris Johnson. And then there's going to be Bank of America, Quicken Loans on the other side of the other plaintiff, maybe on the case, right? There's going to be whatever loan servicing company. It's going to sound corporate, like Bank of America, Capital One, all these things. It's going to say an amount. Usually the amount's going to be over $50,000, and you're going to get some information. And most of this, just FYI, is going to have a partial ID attached to them. Usually, if you're in a bigger market, you can just pull it Excel style, copy and paste, and you can just download it. Pull the information, you'll have a property address and all this stuff. Usually we can do that. Sometimes if you're in a small city, right? I'm trying to help a wholesaler out right now, basically in Kentucky, like a not the biggest market ever. It's a little more difficult. And so basically what I told him to do is you're going to have to go in person and ask for this information. And I basically got asked like what type of info to look at. Well, we kind of have a way our company does it and we do it virtually. You have to ask in person. And specifically, you're going to have to ask for very specific information. Now, a lot of wholesalers, this is another pet peeve of mine. Take notes, boys and gals, because Because if you don't take notes, you're going to stay broke. And I do not want you to stay broke. I want you to get rich, get moolah, get that money, right? So what do? You are basically going to go out here and go to the public records, clerk of the court, pull up, or call them, right? And just say, hey, I want a list of all the people that are behind on the mortgage and the court cases associated with them. And they're going to say, okay, we can give you that information. What type of information do you want from this cases? And most people are like, I don't know. And then you get stumped and then you come back home and you cry about it. And then you go into the comments and you say, oh, it didn't work. Come back then. Or they say, we're not going to give you that information. And you guys cry and then come back. And pull up the next day. Guys, this is stuff that even if they say no, if you're in the 50, all 50 states in the United States, they have to give you this information. It's public info. It's not private. It is public. These banks are literally going through the government to get this done, and the government posts all this information. You go with public dockets. Go to freelisting.com if you're having struggles with it. It's all free. But basically what you need specifically, if they ask, sometimes they get cute with you, what specific information do you need? Well, here is, just screenshot this, write this down. This is really important. But pretty much the info that we ask our VAs usually do is we want property address. We want the homeowner's name. We want the date of initiation of foreclosure proceedings. I know that's fancy, but the clerk of the court should understand that. We want, if available, the outstanding mortgage balance and any additional relevant information. Let me give you guys a couple seconds to screenshot that. It's very important. We get that information out. Usually the public records has that, so it's really not that difficult to get, but we do need to be careful to get that stuff. So we also just got to make sure we're good on this one. But just to understand, screenshot this. It's very important. We need to get that information, property address, homeowner's information, all these things. And they should give it to you absolutely for free. I specifically don't ask for a PDF. I ask for an Excel format for this information. And if somebody says no, you keep asking, speak to a manager, speak to the city attorney. I have a lot of tricks to the trade. I have a one-on-one link if you guys want to talk tonight. If you're struggling getting this information, by the end of that call, you'll be like, oh, okay, I'll just do that instead. And then boom, you'll get it, right? I have never really struggled with this list. It's code violations, water shutoffs, things like that I struggle a lot more, fire damage properties. But some people struggle with it. And just understand the harder it is to get that information, the better. Because the more difficult it is to get that list, that means less wholesalers are wholesaling it. That's actually really good, really good stuff. Usually it's pretty easy to get it, right? Now there's method two. Is what we call the paid method. Now, there's free trials to this, so it can be free, but basically all you have to do is just pull the list at listrei.com. Listrei.com is basically PropStream. It is a free trial to it. It's a free link, so anyone can go listrei.com, listrei.com. You can go there and actually get this information. Now, listrei.com is amazing. I love PropStream. But basically, you can go pull the PropStream information, and they will have pretty much an API type thing. They're really good at this, and they just get the pre-foreclosure. Now, you can use ZachData.com for that too. That's ZachData, that's Batch Leads. They're pretty much equal in that regards, but they all work really, really well. And so you can pull that information. It usually has all that relevant information, and it's way easier to pull than just with a regular list, but it's always good. Now, the real question here is, okay, now I have the list. How do I market to these leads? How do I actually get deals from this, right? Like, how do I actually start doing well? Now, how to market to pre-foreclosures and talk to these type of sellers. There's about, I'd say, four good marketing channels for this. Okay. There's about four, I would say, really good marketing channels when it comes to wholesaling pre-foreclosures, right? And let's talk about these right now. Now, number one, I would say, hands down, without a doubt, best way to wholesale pre-foreclosures right now is through SMS text blasting. Now, if I have to give you the deadliest combo, it would just be smszach.com combined with pre-foreclosures. If you're, I'm just telling you, for anyone, I don't care if it's direct mail, whatever marketing channel works. How do I get most of my pre-foreclosure deals? It is from texting them. You know, I love calling, you know, I love direct mail, you know, I love all these things. Most of my revenue in wholesaling real estate is, and I will always say this, most of my revenue is always going to be from direct mail. Love postcards. I use the ROS postcard from Open Letter Marketing. It's the best one. It makes me most of my revenue. But what I'll specifically, outside of the JV deals, obviously. But what I'll tell you is with pre-foreclosures, it's very expensive to mail to them. And you actually have to understand this too. It doesn't like, what's the best way? When I have a high equity, I send them a direct mail piece, right? They'll sometimes the high equity mailer will hold on to that for like 3 or 4 months and then call me after. In 3 to 4, and then maybe I can follow up with that lead and it's a good deal. In a pre-foreclosure, I have to get that deal done in 2 to 3 months and it's over. So me sending constant direct mail that doesn't like just continually work for me, it's not that good. Now, the average pre-foreclosure list lead deal in wholesaling is going to make me 20 grand, maybe 25 if I'm lucky. I mean, direct mail, like I'm making $35,000, $40,000 on my average direct mail deal from high equity. If I do probates, it's like $50,000. I like pushing them up to 60. So understanding it's not the best. So I have to use a cheaper marketing tactic that isn't a ton of work. Now, usually cold calling is the best one. I have VAs. We go crazy with that. But with pre-foreclosures, I can't cold call them. So what's the best one? Hands down, SMS text blasting. And if you want to do that the right way, you just go to smszach.com. Again, that is smszach.com. That is hands down the best one I've personally found for text blasting. Now, you can text for free, FYI. So you can just use Google Voice, get the information, truepeoplesearch.com, use your personal cell phone, and actually text these leads out. It's not a bad one to do. Really, I know some people complain about it, but like, it's great. You can text for free. Freelston.com, we actually teach you how to text blast for free. You usually send about 100, 120 out a day, which for pre-foreclosures, not bad. I actually had a video last week. If you go to the Zach and YouTube channel and you go to the live, you'll see me do a video on SMS text blasting. You can do it for free too. There's free methods. It's great. But texting, I would say, even if you have no money and you don't want to use smszach.com, that's okay. Trust me, it's fine. But you can do it for free also. And do the free one, get some money, and then invest in smszach.com. I promise you will not be disappointed from that. Promise you, okay? Now next, this is for my people that don't have the money for texting maybe. This is a great one. This is a little more down dirty, but this is probably one of the best methods if time-wise, okay? Time in, time out, you tell me, Zach, I have 2 hours a week to market to pre-foreclosures. It's all I have. I'm not going to tell you to SMS text blast. You're going to need a little more time for that, right? Now, what's the best one to scale out? Pre-foreclosure, SMS, right? But if you give me 2 hours and you also say 2 hours, but I'm also broke and I'm like, oh, this is going to be difficult. What am I going to do? We can't spend all this time skip tracing because you only have 2 hours, right? But what am I going to do? I'm going to tell you, go to the dollar store, grab some sticky notes. These things are $100 bills. This is the way I look at these things are $100 bills. Okay, make 20 grand from a stack like this. Oh, mwah. It's a stack of 20 grand right there. Boom. You're going to write on that sticky note. Hey, this is Zach. I had a quick question about your property. Please give me a call back. And then put your Google Voice phone number. Slap that on as many pre-foreclosure leads as possible. Physically go to the house. Slap the sticky note on it. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, Zach, that seems like a lot of work. Yeah, of course it's a lot of work, but the average bum wholesaler that is buying a guru course, and I'll tell you, you're a bum if you're paying 15 grand to learn wholesaling. Not a bad way, but stop being a bum. Go to freelancing.com, learn how to wholesale for free. You're being a bum. You're listening to a broke wholesaler who hasn't done a wholesaling deal in 4 years about how to market the pre-foreclosures. You're on your phone calling these leads like, oh, it's not working. Stop being a bum. Get a sticky note, slap it on there. Most wholesalers are lazy and they don't want to do it. Your competition's like that. Be above them. Rise above. Actually work hard. Slap the sticky note in the house. You do enough of those, you'll get wholesaling deals. I promise you that. You'll get sellers inbound calling you. The number one objection I get is, Zach, what do I say if they call me? Well, what's the point of the sticky note? Of course you want them to call you. Duh. Of course you want them to call you. So you get the wholesaling deal, right? They call you, hey, this is Zach. You guys sticking up for me? Hey, I was actually driving around the area, my partner, and it seems like a house we wanted to buy. We're looking to buy a couple houses in the area. Are you looking to sell it by chance? I'm not going to say, oh, you're pre-foreclosure. You're behind on your payments. I want to buy your house. No. That's not what we do around here. Okay. No. Just say, hey, we saw that house. Seemed like a decent house we want to buy. We like to buy houses in the area for cash. Are you looking to sell it? Make it simple. Make it easy. Don't complicate this process. And I promise you, reverse try for dollars, you'll get great wholesaling deals. Now, on top of that, too, you can do direct mail. Now, this is probably the most expensive method, the most expensive way I would probably avoid doing this if you don't have a lot of money. But we do send direct mail out, letters, postcards, whatever you want. ROS postcards are our personal favorite. But you can send these direct mail pieces out and you get deals from it. It's a way of doing it. It's not my favorite, but it is a good way of doing it. And it does work. On top of that, too, door knocking. Love door knocking. You can knock on someone's door on a pre-foreclosure and say, hey, my partner, we're trying to buy a couple houses in the area. We're just letting people know in the neighborhood that we are looking to buy houses. Are you potentially looking to sell your house? Or are you interested in selling it? That's my door knocking script. It's stupid simple, but it gets wholesaling results. And it will get you wholesaling leads. It's called door knocking. It's easy. A dummy can do it. It's easy. Just knock on the door and get the deal. Most wholesalers know that they should be doing it, but they don't. I don't know why, but it's a great method for us to actually go out here and get wholesaling deals. Door knocking, it's very, very underutilized, but it is a method that does work. It's a method that I recommend, but I'm telling you, most wholesalers aren't willing to do it. They aren't. It's crazy, but it is a method you should be considering doing. Most wholesalers aren't willing to do it. So I would say you probably should start doing it. Now, this is a very important point here, but there are ways to talk to pre-foreclosure sellers and there are ways to not talk to pre-foreclosure sellers. I would say that most wholesalers do not know how to talk to a pre-foreclosure seller. Frankly, most of them don't know how to talk to sellers in general. That's why MCTP, go to freelancing.com, everything like that. And so make sure you go there and understand it. Now, if you don't understand what I'm saying, I do have a free wholesaling course, and don't roll your eyes, everybody, because there are people, I'm literally going to put them on the one-on-ones today and call them out. Let's say, I don't have any deals. What do I do? Go to freewholesaling.com. What's that? Every day I get DMs. How do I get started in wholesaling? What do I do? I'm going to give a second. Now, don't roll your eyes. Don't be upset, but I have a free course. I do not have an hour for each person every day of the hundreds of thousands of followers I have to teach them how to wholesale, holding their hand, doing one-on-one Zooms. But in freewholesaling.com, there's a version of me that will. And so go to freewholesaling.com. It's a free course. I'll show you how to talk to sellers. You'll see me doing recorded videos of talking to sellers. Then come on the one-on-ones, you'll actually be educated on wholesaling and we can actually have an intelligent discussion on wholesaling real estate that will help you, help me, and help the audience become better wholesalers. Because once you go through there, you're going to learn how to talk to sellers the right way. Now, one thing you're going to know is you have to act like you're not targeting pre-foreclosure sellers. That's a big point I feel like a lot of wholesalers don't understand. But don't act like you're targeting a pre-foreclosure. A lot of wholesalers have this issue. Hey, I'm actually calling a list of people behind their mortgage payments and we're an investment company looking to buy more houses and save you and we're here to provide you solutions. Blah, blah, blah. That's how a broke wholesaler talks. Rich wholesalers don't do that. FYI. They make it simple. Hey, me and my partner, we're looking to buy a couple houses in the area. Are you interested in selling? You do not want to be aggressive. It's a very delicate situation being in a pre-foreclosure. I've never been in the situation, obviously, but I can understand it's a very delicate situation. If they want to say no, they don't want to deal with you right now. Their ego is too much. They obviously don't want to sell right now and they just want to get it foreclosed. They'll say, no, I'm not looking to sell. Or why would I want to sell? You're stupid for thinking I would even be in a situation to want to sell. I get that all the time too. It's fine. Just let them go around their day and lose their house to foreclosure. That's it. If they don't want to talk, don't push the seller. Or don't try to convince them that they're dumb. Let me repeat myself. If they don't want to talk, do not push them. Do not convince them. Do not say they're stupid. Just let them go about their day. This is a very important thing. But if they don't want to talk, don't push them. Don't try to convince them. Remember, guys and gals, pre-foreclosures are a numbers game. The more pre-foreclosure leads I can pull, the more marketing I can do. And with the more marketing I can do, the more contracts I write, the more assignments, and then the more deals I can get. That is it. More leads I pull, more wholesaling deals I eventually get. It's called what we call the upward spiral, where I start doing better. I do more marketing. I get more leads. I get more appointments. I get more contracts. I get more cash buyers when I buy them. And then I make more money. To start the upward spiral, we have to pull more lists. We have to do more marketing. And then just our life gets better. Have you ever noticed you start waking up earlier, start eating healthier, you start losing weight, you start exercising, you start making more money, you get that promotion. That it's an upward spiral in life. But there's also downward spirals. Everyone knows that too, right? Start doing bad things in your life and bad habits, and it just goes down the drain. But also the drain can go up. It's momentum. That's it. If you're doing better in life, usually it pushes you up. You're doing worse. You're more in a thought process to do worse, more worse decisions. You go down. So just understand, if you want to make more money in wholesaling, make better decisions in life, and do better things. Like going to freewholesaling.com and not watching Netflix tonight. FYI. So just understand that. This is really, really important. Okay. There's so many wholesalers out here that have the information. They have the keys to success. They have what it takes to get rich. They have what it takes to make $20,000, $30,000 a month in wholesaling real estate, right? They have that juice, that information, that thing that's going to get them to the promised land. But they just don't know what to do with that, right? You go to freewholesaling.com, you're watching the stuff, you know how to do it. If you make a consistent schedule, guys and gals, you'll consistently start pulling lists. You'll start consistently marketing and doing it well. If you're a person that says, I don't do schedules, you're going to stay broke. Rich people make schedules. They make habits. They have discipline. If you're not willing to have discipline, you will stay broke. You'll stay at the point we're at right now, and you'll never make a change. To make a change, you have to change. So if you want to actually make a change, start getting results right now. You have to create a schedule. Say, hey, when am I going to pull this list? When am I going to start reverse rank for dollars? When am I going to start text blasting? When am I going to start doing this? Start making a schedule. Start making wholesaling a non-negotiable. Start making your marketing a non-negotiable. Start making your hustle a non-negotiable. Start making positive thinking a non-negotiable. I promise you, these are little stupid little things that eventually are going to lead you to making a ton of money in wholesaling real estate. So guys, what I want to do is answer some questions guys have right now in wholesaling real estate. See how I can help you become the best wholesaler possible and all these things so you can do it. Flex says, best course ever. Appreciate that. That is freewholesaling.com. Guys, you think I'm crazy? Keep talking. I say that freewholesaling.com forever, but like about, I would say half of everyone that follows me is actually in freewholesaling.com. Only half. Crazy. So I have to convince the other half to do it so they actually learn what to do. But once you're inside of freewholesaling.com, you're signed up. It's free, by the way. Your chance of getting a wholesaling deal increases, I'd say about 40% by actually going through the course, because you actually start knowing the things that aren't clicky or not sexy YouTube videos you might not click on with a great thumbnail, but you're actually, okay, I have to force myself to watch it and you'll do well. So like I get asked, you know, what's the best script for pre-foreclosures? Best script is, hey, my name is Zach. Are you the owner of the house? Okay. Well, are you interested in selling it? Me and my partner are looking to buy a couple more in the area. Simple. Okay. Everyone thinks we have to have this crazy complicated system for talking to motivated sellers. It's not. You just let them know that you are looking to buy some houses for cash and are you looking to sell it? That is it. Do not make this crazy complicated. Do not try to be somebody you're not. Don't say you're this crazy hedge fund investment corporation thing if you're not. Just tell them, be truthful, be honest. This is a shocking concept in wholesaling real estate, but actually just say the truth. Me and my partner, which is you and your buyer, we're looking to buy some houses in the area. That's it. Be genuine, be honest. Guys, it hurt. I can't not lie. It's hard. I can't be like disingenuous. I can't fake like what I am. I have to say the truth. I don't sound good when I lie. So you have to understand I'm good at sales, but holy moly, just understand that it can get very, very difficult if you go out here and you don't know what you're doing. So
I do want everyone to FYI just like understand that you got to be careful here. Make sure that you make the script simple. Make sure you go to freelancing.com and you know what to do. And I promise you, you'll actually do wholesaling deals if you know what you're doing. But you have to go and pull it every single day. SMS text blasts, government lists. Oh, yeah. Love doing it. All right. So what we're going to do here is we're going to do some one-on-ones also. I do like talking to people one-on-one. It's one of my favorite parts because I get to talk people face-to-face pretty much online best I can, actually get inside their wholesaling business so I can help them out. And obviously, I always do it for free because I'm not a broke guru and I like to give all my best info to everyone for free. So here's my StreamYard link. Hop on there. Let's talk and let's get it going. So first and foremost, we got Jay. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up, Zach? How you doing?
West, what's up? How can I help you out?
What's
up?
I spoke to you the other day about a property that I was going to meet with the seller. You remember?
Okay. Yeah.
I met with her today. The house was like, it was worse condition. So instead of going with max of 275 or 270, I gave her 260. And she was like, no, open door, gave her 290. So I said, okay, well, let me know if, you know, if I can help out. Obviously, if, you know, you need the money for, she needed the money for her daughter. So I was like, obviously, if you need the money for the medical bills, you know, go for the 290 if they can give you more, then for sure. So just to update you, that was that. I was hoping it would go better, but, you know, that's just how it went. And then tomorrow, I'm meeting for, remember those four parcels I told you about? And you told me kind of hit up a cash buyer and see what he would pay.
Yep.
So I'm going to be meeting him tomorrow. Any tips you should, you know, any tips you can give me on while I'm there? I kind of already know, just, you know, when I do the negotiation, try to be in the worst part of the property as possible.
With the seller or buyer?
With the seller, because I'm meeting him tomorrow at 1 for those four parcels. So,
I mean, it's land, right?
So one of them's land, two of them are duplexes, and then the last one is just a single family home.
I mean, it's gonna be hard for me to be like, oh, go to this one, it's worse. I go see the houses, kind of have an MAO in mind. Always, you're smart, you know, like you can kind of switch, like, okay, this is way worse. We gotta adjust the MAO and things like that, obviously, right? Just go there and see, right? If the house, like, this is pretty easy on appointments, but like, if the house is really nice, don't focus on the house, focus on the person, right? If the house is really ugly and they don't really have a big motivation, make a big deal on the house, right? It's just going with the flow, right? So, okay. So I would say focus pretty much on what their motivation is. Hit on the points that the pain point. They want to sell, they're motivated seller for a specific reason. We want to figure out why. And then make sure you condition the seller, go with the offer and see what you can do. A lot of wholesalers try to do a bundle deal. If there's different deeds, you're going to need different contracts. And I would say, especially you doing this in Florida, there's be a lot more buyers for the house, especially a duplex, than there are for the parcels. So you just have to keep that in mind too. Okay. And one line I always like saying on appointments like this is like, hey, that duplex will pay me every month, but that land is not going to pay me every month. Oh, you could put a trailer on there or an RV and someone could, that's a lot harder to do than just getting a regular old tenant in the house.
Okay.
Perfect. And so they understand that, they'll be a little easier to talk to and then you'll be good to go from there.
Great. All right. I appreciate the insight on that.
Of course, man.
Sure.
But condition them. If you, FYI, if you don't know how to condition, go to freelancing.com. Do not want somebody saying, well, maybe I'll take that offer. I'll think about it. You do not want to be optioned off. Don't be in the friend zone with your sellers. Yes or no decision. Right. More likely when you do that, you'll get the deal under contract.
Yeah, I conditioned him. I conditioned the lady I met for today too.
If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. That's it. You can always follow up with them.
Yeah. All right. One more question. For code violations, how often do you think I should be pulling them?
Every month.
Okay. So I know it pre-foreclosures. You can obviously pull those every month with the software, but you talk a lot about speed. So what I've been doing is pulling them every 3 weeks and then SMSing them hand by hand.
Okay.
So for code violations, is there a way for someone to just easily pull a list with a software like that?
Nope. If it was easy, it'd be a lot more saturated and wouldn't work as well.
Got you. Okay. So I could just
literally it is a department in the government manually pulling the list. And so you don't want them publicly giving it out. They need it. They have to give it to you legally, but you want it to be more difficult to get.
Got you. Okay. Yeah. So I'll stick to every month for that. One more thing, actually. So I did try to pull the water shutoff list. They gave me resistance. I couldn't get a number. I had to email them over here where I'm at. It is a public. One of them is a public. There's two of them I emailed. Orange County and then OUC. And I believe OUC is public as well. And only one of them actually got back to me. Do you have any like tricks?
Go in person.
Just go in person? Okay.
Go in person. Can I talk to your manager? No? Well, let me schedule a meeting. It's a public officer. Then you have to talk to me.
Okay.
Simple. All right. Dude, you have to get difficult with these people.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just at a point now where it's like I'm doing
a lot of it. Are you the person to give up when things get difficult?
Am I? No.
No. No, you're not. So don't be one.
No, I'm not. I haven't prioritized it because, to be honest, since I'm doing this myself, I'm doing the pre-foreclosures, I'm doing the code violations, and then I'm also organizing the data. Plus, I'm still marketing every day and doing acquisitions. So I'm just like, shit, how do I fit it in? Plus, I found out how to do the probates as well from here, from home. So that way I don't have to go in person.
That's good. But Jay, you have to understand, either you pull that data from the water shutoff list and get it, or some of their wholesaler will, and then they'll get the deal. Yeah. You got to decide.
All right.
There's not a right or wrong way, right? It's like, you know, you can only give so much time towards your marketing. So it's like, you know, it's not like what baby I should save, right? It's not that. But like, I'm just saying, like, I mean, you're already making an effort for it. Don't waste that time. Go in person and go get it.
Yeah, it's just how bad do you want it?
That's it.
Yeah. All right, cool. I appreciate it, man.
All right. Keep it up, man. You got any more questions, you can always message me and let me know, all right?
All right. Thanks, Zach.
All right. Appreciate it. Boom! Awesome. Love to see that. DeAndre, what is up, man? I think, is he muted? His mic's not working.
Oh, is my mic working now?
There we go. You're good now, man. What's up?
Okay. Oh, hey, Zach. I love the shirt, by the way.
Appreciate it.
I just have two quick, simple questions. So I talked to you a couple months ago. I don't think you obviously wouldn't remember, but I'm in Toronto right now and I just got a car a couple of months ago. Right. So
are your family Jamaican, right?
Yeah. Oh,
I remember you.
Oh my God. You have an amazing memory. That's crazy.
Why do you think I'm so good with sellers, man? I have an identical memory.
I know. That's
I remember actually talking. You had the thing in the background.
And I was moving around and all that stuff.
Bro, I got you jacked up, man. I remember that. We were talking about your family didn't come from Jamaica for you to sit on your butt all day.
Right? No, I'm not even joking. Like, hold on.
I remember that combo, dude.
You got me like, no, I'm not even joking. Like, after you talked to me, I was like in the gym. And that's why what you said just right there, like with upward spiral, like a couple of minutes ago, like once I got in the gym, like I started waking up early. I started making a schedule for myself, you know, like when you actually like really like pumped me up a little bit. But anyways, I'm going off topic. But I'm in Toronto right now and I just got a car a couple of months ago. I want to know if like driving for dollars and like, you know, is really worth it in Toronto. I also want to put up bandit signs as well. It's not nowhere in Canada, do you think? Because like I'm like
Ontario. Windsor, Ontario, London, Ontario, Hamilton, maybe, but that's like by Detroit, man. That's way west of you.
So it wouldn't be worth it.
Only people I know. But that's, I mean, that's basically America light, right? It's like a light version. I mean, literally, Detroit's right, like literally shared land, basically, because the houses were built pretty much the same. Where you're at, no, unfortunately, man.
Okay.
I wish I could tell you something different, man.
Yeah,
virtual wholesaling is what we're going to have to do.
Okay, yeah, I have been virtual wholesaling. So I have someone I'm talking to right now. They have a land, and they also have multifamily properties as well. It's just a quick, simple question. With the wholesaling contract that you guys have, is that the one I could use for land, or is it, do you guys have a different one?
You can use that one for land.
Okay.
Wholesaling a house and wholesaling a piece of land is the same thing because it's the parcel that you're wholesaling. So anything on that parcel, basically.
Okay, then. Yeah, that's basically all I really wanted to ask. Honestly, I just wanted to know if I could drive for dollars around here, but it looks like I might. If I was to, I might just do virtual, you know?
Like, you're going to have to, man. And you know, I get you excited. I get you jacked up, right? But like, there's working smart and working dumb. Mm-hmm. You driving for dollars in Toronto is going to be grinding. That's just not going to work well.
Yeah.
Okay. I hate to say it. It's like you're trying to increase your bench and you're just squatting all the time. Like it'll help, but like it ain't going to help you get your bench up. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, yeah, you're getting better at driving for dollars, but you ain't going to get any deals. So I hate to say it. In Toronto, your best chance of getting a deal, virtual wholesaling.
Okay, then. Yeah, so just keep doing what I'm basically doing right now then, right?
Yeah, you're good, man.
All right.
You're fine. I don't forget people. FYI, you know, I don't give up on people.
Yeah, I thought you'd forget me, man. I was like, hey. I'll
hop back on in 2 months, but I don't forget you.
It's crazy. I'm not going to name them. I'm on other people's lives. They forget me after a week. You can't believe you remember after like months.
Andre, he's the man. I was telling him, FYI, I have a lot of friends that their family's from Jamaica. They're all like doctors now. And like lawyers and all this stuff, because their parents are like, I talked to their parents. They're like, we didn't go all the way from Kingston for you to sew your butt and work at McDonald's all day. You're gonna do something, and then they go out there and do like crazy stuff. So I'm like, I obviously my parents aren't Jamaican, but like I understand the family and how they come. It's intense, man. Mm-hmm. So you're a hard worker, man. You come from a lot of hard workers. So go after it, man.
Thank you. All right.
All right. Appreciate it, guys. I'm telling you. You got to go out here and live your dreams. Your dreams are there. You got to take it. It's not your parents' dreams. It's not your mom's dream. It's not your kid's dream. It's your dream. And the only person that can reach it is you. Do not blame your excuses. Do not make anyone, it's their fault that I'm not doing it. No, it's all you. You go out here, live your dreams, and go after it. You guys got this. You just have to put your work in.
Big shit.
Rebel, what's up, man?
Oh shit!
You flexing on me? What was that?
Flexing my Shadur Sanders.
Okay, I like it. What's up, man?
I didn't think I was gonna get on the pod. My bad, bro. I don't really got a question for real. Like most of it's like self-explanatory.
I have questions for you. How much marketing did you do last week? Don't let me.
Fat zero.
So why are you even on here?
I was actually trying to get back to it. I'm just like.
You want to try or will you?
I will.
Man, I got to hear that a little better, man.
I will.
Your words and your actions are a lot different, but your thoughts are going to change everything. Yeah. Why haven't you, man? You're just getting tired, sleepy. You're flexing too much. Like, why aren't you doing it, man?
I've been lazy. And then like, it's an excuse, but I guess college stuff, but that's not really like a good excuse.
You happy where you're at right now in your life financially?
Nah, I'm broke.
Make a change.
All right.
Ain't much to talk about, man.
Yeah, ain't nothing to talk about.
Shador Sanders didn't sit on his butt all day. He works hard.
Nah.
Okay.
All
right. Go after this, man. You know what to do. Remember, I'm going to hop back on. I'm going to ask you because you know I don't forget.
Yeah.
We've talked many times.
Yeah.
Like very many. And Rick, too.
Yeah.
How much marketing did you do last week? That's it, man.
All right.
See you. Right. Guys, I'm a nice guy. I am the last person to ever be mad at somebody, to make fun of them, to go out here and degrade anyone. I no judgment on my part for anything. But I will tell you, I will put your butt to work. You can never judge someone based on their past or anything like that. But you can straight up judge them on the thoughts they have currently right now and how they need to make a change. I do it because you need to make a change. Now, I kid around, but I am 100% serious about making a change right now. And if you don't like where you're at right now, you got to make the change. Guys, I'm already rich. I got plenty of money. I make a ton of money. I'm more money than pot. Like I've ever thought wholesaling every single month. I don't need to be stressed out over how much money you're going to make. That's your problem. I'm trying to get you rich to that point, but
I can't go do the cold calling for you. I can't pull the list for you. I can't. You have to do it yourself. You can go do it yourself. Go put in the work. Xavier, what's up, man?
What's up? I'm getting some water. What's up, Zach?
How can I help you out?
All right, so I'm going to be quick, for real. I know what all I need to do, but I basically just got the code violations list and the fire damage properties and water shutoff. So I'm in Grand Rapids. And my main thing right now is I took a break.
It's Grand Rapids. Listen. That is in barber school, right?
Yeah. But I was
dude, in Kalamazoo. I don't forget. I cold call lead for you. I locked the dude. I don't forget. Don't remember me. I mean, I know where you're at, dude.
Yeah. Okay. Bet. So I'm in school right now. I'm back in college, and I'm really like, it's really like a rat race when I think about it. Like my professor is wearing the same clothes every Tuesday and Thursday. But anyway, that don't even matter. So right now, I'm really trying to like change, because like, I know I can, and I know I have the capability of doing it. But it's up to me, like you said, it's up to me to change where I'm at right now. It's nobody else's fault. So I'm trying to figure out the best marketing strategy, whether it's cold calling, because my schedule, I have to create a schedule, but whether it's cold calling, text blasting, or door knocking, or sticky notes. But I'm in Allendale, Michigan at school, but Grand Rapids is like 30 minutes away. And I'll get my car fixed this week, and I plan on driving for dollars. So since I just got that list, I was going to ask you, how do I find like the actual owner of the house? Because when I go on True People Search, it's not always, if I don't want to pay for PropStream, I've been paying for PropStream. I didn't renew it, but when I have PropStream, it works. I could contact the actual owner, but without it.
There is a new platform being released Wednesday on the Flip with Rick YouTube channel. Okay. It's about 2 to 3 times more accurate than TruePeopleSearch.com, and it works just the same. Okay. Huge announcement. Wednesday, 1 o'clock, Flip with Rick YouTube channel.
Okay, bet.
Really doing it just for people like you, all right?
All right, cool. That's perfect.
Like, TruePeopleSearch.com is great. It kind of sucks. There's something way better. All right?
Yeah, cool. One more thing. When is the event that you guys are having in October? I can't
remember. That is the 19th and the 20th.
The 19th and the 20th. Okay, cool. That's all I really needed to know. But right. I got everything, and I got to put in the work. That's it, for real.
Put it in, man. You got this.
All right, cool. Have a good night, bro. Like the shirt, too. That's clean.
Appreciate it. All righty. Tavian, what's up, man?
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
I'm good, man. Hold so on. What? Trying for wait, dollars? What are we doing? Turn you up, huh?
All right. What were you saying?
What kind of marketing are we doing? We talked last week. What's up?
My question is about I'm setting up like a virtual, pretty much trying to get my list and all that stuff ready to go. But
why virtually?
I'm still doing my market, but I'm a JV with somebody that really motivated me.
Okay.
So
what market?
It's the Missouri, like border Missouri, right there. So actually, yeah, I'm from Kansas, so Missouri.
I know you're from Wichita, bro. Where in Missouri?
I think we're starting in, I want to say it's what is that? St. Louis County.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a good market.
Yeah. It's right next door.
Yeah, you do some wholesale
business. But when I went on PropStream today, because I got my list and it's just straightforward, when I went on there, everything that when it goes from single family, then it's like owned by an LLC. So I was like, okay, that's normal. And then it says it's cash sale, right? But then they're in pre-foreclosure. So how does that work?
They're probably pulling the data off. So ZachData.com, ListRA.com, PropStream batch, they try their best on it. No one's completely 100% perfect. The only way you're going to figure that out is actually go to the government source, the clerk of the court, and actually look it up and see what's up with it. Sometimes the API is off on it, maybe. That'd be my suggestion.
Okay. Because I know the pre-foreclosure that I have, that I was going to type it in, make a route, and then I was going to do sticky notes on all those. I wasn't going to call them or nothing. So I was going to have my JV partner that's in Missouri actually do the sticky notes for us.
That's great. If he's willing to do it, oh, yeah, that'd be great.
I'm like, I've never came across that because it's different to me. So, and I know that you have like an underlying, you know, like you see the back end of these companies. So that was a good question. I do have another question, kind of pinging off of that Jay that you were speaking with earlier.
Who, Jay?
The guy in the black shirt. With Jay.
Yeah.
He was talking about his water shut off list. I struggled pretty hard with mine. I think I called the wrong person actually, because I called like so obviously you pay your water bill, right? So the same company that you would pay, so mine would be the City of Wichita Public Works.
Yeah.
Called them. And you know, I spoke with the little one, asked for the manager and all that stuff. I had to write down what she said because she gave me like a hard no, you know. And then she said she couldn't give me a random list to a non-authorized person over the phone, like I'm some stranger.
That's fine. Then
I said that's okay. And then she said it's private information. So then I started calling. I believe I called the clerk because I went to their website. They have the uncultivated vegetation, but when I called about like the water, about people that aren't currently paying their water bill or people that are in violation, that's kind of how I phrased it. I phrased it as a people who are in violation of not paying their water bill. This is where I started getting like big resistance. I actually DM'd you on your Instagram.
Dude, I get too many messages on there, man. I hate to tell you.
I did it right now, but I didn't know if you didn't pull it up. But they, so I ended up talking to a lot of people. I talked to so many people that they pulled one of these where they whisper off to the side and like, yeah, it's the guy calling about the water. Like, that's how many people I called that day. But yeah, when they sent me to this website, right, the Quora, right? That's what they said. It's called Quora, K-O-R-A.
Okay.
And then you could fill it out. And then I actually found where all these people that were requesting it, but they were like denying them. So you could see like what they said, and they like try to put like some type of, I want to say it's some type, I don't think it's a law, but that's why I wanted to see if you could read it. So if you had any like rebuttal against it.
Oh, I'll read it.
Yeah. Again,
do you have it?
I sent you, I do. I have it printed out and everything. I just sent it to you so you can.
Put in the private chat. I'll read it.
Put in the private. Okay. Let me see if I got it back. So I'll copy and paste it.
Yeah, copy. I'll read it. I mean,
can I drop a photo in the private chat?
Nope.
That doesn't help. Let's go. Downloads.
All right, I'm gonna go talk to somebody while you're doing it.
Yeah, bring me back in. I'll
bring you back, all right, man?
Thanks, Zach.
All right, of course. All right, bring him back in. Brian, what's up, man?
What's up, bro? Hey, real quick, I got actually a question. Apparently, I was told today that there's a new law on sub twos as far as like.
Bro, stop.
Apparently,
hey, Brian, blah blah blah. When we're talking about laws, we can't say that. That is a marketing term. You have to say what it actually is. It's called subject to.
Okay.
If you talk to a lawyer, they're going to think you're an idiot, bro. It's a YouTube marketing term that is like it's trademarked. It's not even a real term, dude. Use real legal terms when you're talking about real estate.
Well, I'm saying it because that's what I was told today. That's why I'm like, what the fuck? Like, where did this come from? Oh, you know, so.
Okay, what's the law?
Apparently, there's a law where subject to
apparently, Brian, give me the law. I don't talk in she said, he said, she said. Give me right. HB 506, whatever, and I can look at it.
So you have to let the lender know that you're doing a subject to And of course, there's a clause in every mortgage. And as far as doing the subject to or they do on sale clause. So I was just wondering if where is that law and how can I keep up with it with all these real estate laws?
That said that.
What was that?
Who's the he or she that said that? Ask them.
Apparently. He,
and then whoa. They will, then he or she can go look at that law. And it's all the he said, she said. I had a guy on my Facebook group today said wholesaling is illegal in Florida. I just collected a $30,000 deal on Friday. I should be in jail. Talking he or she that said something, you have to go to the source.
Right. So I'm like, I just heard this today. So I'm like, what the fuck? Where did this come from? Like, because I sold a house on subject two, and all of a sudden last year this law came into place. So I'm just wondering, like, how can I keep up with this type of shit?
I know. You know, so that. Told me that whole thing is illegal, is going to be illegal in the next 2 years. And that was 3 years ago. Like, we can debate, bro, you got to give him the law. When you say he or she, it's like, it's all just scary talk. I don't know.
Okay.
That's the problem.
Okay. Well, I mean, that was one thing.
If it was an actual law that's like real, I'd look at, like, I would know about it. Right.
Right.
Like someone said, whole thing's legal in Maryland. It's HB 306, I believe, and it didn't pass because it was so stupid of a law, because I followed it because it was actually real. And then someone actually showed me the law and I read it. I'm like, oh, okay. And then it obviously failed because it was a stupid law. They're trying to ban wholesaling. It's like, duh, that's never going to work. Subject to law. Let's see what it says. What state?
Texas.
Texas?
Yeah.
The problem is subject to real estate law. Hopefully someone in the chat can tell me. Let's see here. You just got to be careful. Subject to transactions. I don't see it. Yeah, the TREC should have something on that. Let me see in the chat. No one in the chat has anything. I think you're a he or she said it. Wraps, I know you can't in wraps. I know for a wrap you can't.
Okay.
When you're sandwiching the deal. But, I mean, I don't see it, dude. So I talk to the he or she that told you that, man.
Okay, cool. Another thing was I'm coming to a lot of, like, when I do my skip tracing, I'm coming into a lot of trust. What's the best way to go about those, like, as far as, like, trying to find the person that, you know, is in charge, basically?
You talk to the trustee.
Okay.
So a lot of people get so thrown off in creative financing when it comes to the trust. It's in a trust. Oh, a trust. It's like you're dealing with a company. It's like there's an owner of a company. There's a trustee of the trust. There's a person in charge of the trust. Talk to them. That's pretty much it.
Okay, cool. And what about LLCs? The same thing?
Owner of the LLC. An LLC is just a group of people. And it's just an entity, group of people. That's it. It's not scary. You just deal with them.
All right. Sounds good, man.
Contracts written up the same, just the sellers, the LLC, not that.
Okay. All right. Sounds good, bro. Appreciate it. That's it,
man. I'm just letting you know. The problem is there's too many people that watch this video that, like, they get all flipped out. They're like, oh, there's a new law. Oh, there's a he and she that say everything. Unfortunately, 1 out of 10 of those actually end up actually being something. The problem is I gotta shut down these stupid rumors all the time. It drives me crazy, man. I had another guy told me lease options are illegal in Georgia. And I'm like, I just did one. Like, it's ridiculous. And so you just gotta get a law. Usually you can see the law or see who introduced it. And it's pretty easy to understand it. But I believe a subject to, I mean, in the essence of it, you should be able to do it in Texas. Now, the due on sale clause, you got to remember that's not a law. That is a private agreement. Right. And so it depends on what they do. I know for wraps, you can't do it in Texas. But if you want to look it up, look at TREC, call them and let them know. They could probably direct you actually pretty well. Okay. I think it's the Texas Real Estate Commission.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Cool. All right, man. All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. Boom. Guys,
It drives me crazy. I will let you know. I'm not saying anything bad. He heard it from someone. He's just trying to confirm it for me. But you got to remember, I have to confirm information when I get it. If he or she said something, I don't really put any merit to it. Because that person has to show proof. Wholesaling's illegal here. Well, give me the law. Oh, it's not a law. It's what your guru said. And your guru's just trying to sell you his or her realty, and they want you to pay $10,000 up front to join it. And they said it might get banned. Not that it will. Have you ever played the game Telephone when you were a kid and like you had 10 people in a circle and you said, Johnny likes ham? And then it goes to 10 people and then it goes to you and says, I don't know, I like bananas. It's like that's not even the same word. What? Because when he tells she and she tells he and then he tells she, it comes to me saying everything's illegal. It's ridiculous. You guys, I just try to nip it in the butt because a lot of people go crazy on it. All right. So record request. The city is the receipt of your request. I'm wanting to get the Wattershoff list of houses. That is a terrible request, FYI, but whatever.
It's not
my your request should have said, I am... How you ask for the information is almost as important as the people you're asking from. You should have said, I'm asking for a list of all houses that are currently turned off due to non-payment.
Oh, so
that have no flowing water.
These are I don't mean to cut you off, by the way, Zach. Like it has like a whole list so I can filter it. And then these are like all the denials so that it doesn't show you the when they send them, like the people that got approved because they just send it to the email. These are all the denials, and I can pull more. Go ahead. I'll let you continue.
Okay, so I'm reading KSI 45221. Records of utility or other public service pertaining to individual identifiable residential customers of the utility service is not required to be open. So basically, they can redact the names, keep the address. Ask for that. Do not require public agency to disclose records containing information of a personal nature. Okay, if it's personal in nature, you can remove the names. Okay. Give me the address. That's what I would ask.
Because I even called like the fire department and the police department and asked them because they're also, they should be a public entity, right? Even the fire department gives the addresses. So that's kind of like,
so do address, get rid of name. Maybe you're requesting
what to say. Okay.
So give me a list of all the addresses that have no flowing water due to non-payment, something like that. Make it fancy schmancy. Just don't ask for a water shut off list. Ask for a list of all houses that currently don't have any running water due to non-payment. If that doesn't work, what you can also do is get a list of all the liens the utility department is filing on customers. That is actually, you can publicly get.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Zach. You're the best.
Of course, man. I appreciate it. Remember, they're trying to give that to you, so you just run away. Like a
right. I've seen that.
You are not that type of person. So.
And it's just copied and pasted, too. Like, it doesn't matter how... All these people, some of them word it very well, because this that message right there is previous someone. That's I erased their name, like Mr. Beret. That's who said it. But they just copied and pasted it. And it shows you who did it too. Like I think this is from the law department from Wichita, is what it came from. And it's the same lady, it's like Joe something, and she's just blasting through these people of denials. So
go in person, keep trying, man.
Yeah, that's Tuesday. I gotta say, if Monday I'll do that again, right? And I'm gonna ask for liens, and then Tuesday I was gonna go in person.
And then worst case scenario, all you have to do is get the utility lien list, and you should be good.
Okay. I didn't want to do the what'd your dad say? I didn't want to do the FOIA.
Come back next week. If they're being difficult, we might have to.
Okay.
All right, man.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Keep it up. Guys, pre-foreclosures. If you want to start pulling them, go down below to freewholesaling.com and you can start wholesaling real estate for free, guys. I really appreciate it. If you guys got any value from this video, do me a favor. Make sure you smash that like button, subscribe, and I'll see you soon. And this is Zach in. Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.